One is your master, even Christ. St. Helena, California, January 16, 1907. Christ, our advocate with the Father, knows how to sympathize with every soul. To those who receive Him as their Savior, He gives power to become sons and daughters of God. His life of perfect freedom from sin has prepared the way for us. Through Him, the entrance into the holiest of all is made manifest. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that hath received His testimony hath set to His seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3, verse 16, 33-36. A religious education is greatly needed by all who act a part in the work of Jesus Christ. They are to be laborers together with God, engaged in a sacred, solemn work. Each is to have an individual experience in being taught by the great teacher. One man is not to act as mind and judgment for another man whom the Lord is using in His work. No one is to lay down rules and regulations to govern his fellow laborers who have a living experience in the truth. Let every one be amenable to the great teacher. His words are spirit and life. He does not sanction any plan by which men who have been entrusted with the guardianship of souls are placed under another man and compelled to do as he shall decide. God's laborers are not to be bound or prescribed in their work. Those whom God is leading by His Holy Spirit need not, before they make a move, first ask permission of someone else, who has had less experience in the work for this time than themselves. The Lord Jesus is the one to whom men must go for wisdom, and in imparting wisdom to those who seek Him, it is not necessary that He reveal His will to some other than the one who is seeking Him. There must be an individual communion between God and the human heart. There is to be imparted a new life, and that life is to be nourished by the Holy Spirit. When there is a spiritual union with the Lord Jesus, He will move and impress the heart. He will lead, and in the life there will be a growth of fellowship with Christ. Let no one undertake the work of bidding his brethren do as he thinks advisable, irrespective of their own personal convictions. Among God's people are some who have had long experience in His work, men who have not departed from the faith. Notwithstanding the great trials through which they have passed, they have remained faithful. These men should be regarded as tried and chosen counselors. They should be respected, and their judgment should be honored by those who are younger or who have had less experience, even though these younger men may be in official positions. We are engaged in a great work, and there are many opportunities for service in various lines. Let all pray earnestly that God may guide them into the right channels of service. God's workmen should not neglect any opportunity to help others in every possible way. If they seek God unselfishly for counsel, His word, which bringeth salvation, will lead them. They will engage in labor on the right hand and on the left, doing their best to remove from the minds of others every doubt and every difficulty in understanding the truth. The Spirit of God will make their labors effectual. The Lord calls for minute men, men who will be prepared to speak words in season and out of season that will arrest the attention and convict the heart. The kingdom of God consisteth not in outward show. Light will not be received by following selfish plans, but by looking unto Jesus, following Christ's leadings, not the suppositions of men. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It often happens that circumstances arise which demand prompt action. And sometimes precious opportunities have been lost because of delay. The one who should have acted promptly felt that he must first consult with someone who was far away and who was unacquainted with the true conditions. Much time has thus been lost in asking advice and counsel from men who were not in a position to give wise counsel. Let all God's workers be guided by the word of truth which points out their duty, following implicitly the directions Christ has given. I am free to say to our brethren whom God is leading, if you know that God would have you engage in any work, go forward. Those who have the light and consciousness that God is leading need not ask any human agent what is their work. They are to follow the counsel of the highest authority. Safety and peace and calm assurance are to be found only by following the counsel of the greatest teacher that ever lived in our world. Let us not turn away from his unerring counsel. In the 6th chapter of John, we may find valuable instruction. After Christ had miraculously fed a great multitude, he withdrew himself. During the night, he crossed over to the other side of the sea, but the multitude found him again the next day. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves, and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Verses 25-37. Christ is our only hope. He is the bread of life, and we may feed on him. We may look to him as our Savior. We may take him at his word and make him our dependence. Let no man interpose between us and our Savior, assuming that we may not go forth to perform our duty without first receiving his approval. With our whole hearts, let us seek the Lord. He knows just the help we need, and we can safely put our trust in him. But if we depend on human wisdom to guide us, we will find ourselves on the losing side. We may come direct to the Lord Jesus, for he has not bidden us to make any man our guide and dependence. It is our privilege to be taught of the Lord. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 53. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 28-29. We have a divine audience to which to present our requests. Then let nothing prevent us from offering our petitions in the name of Jesus, believing with unwavering faith that God hears us and that he will answer us. Let us carry our difficulties to God, humbling ourselves before him. There is a great work to be done, and while we may counsel together, we must be very sure to counsel with God, for he will never mislead us. We are not to make flesh our arm. If we do, depending upon human help, human guidance, unbelief will steal in, and our faith will die. When you have brought your case to God and have humbled your heart before him, will he not answer your prayer? Is it not your privilege to take God at his word and to become acquainted with him? Then why should any suppose that their understanding of duty must come through one of their fellow men? Any man who is placed in a position where he is regarded by others as an authority, as one to whom they must go for permission to do what they feel impressed by the Spirit of God is right, is in a dangerous position. He is likely to become exalted, for he is but human. The Lord has not appointed to anyone such a work. Christ alone is to direct his workers. Among all God's workers there should be a spirit of unity and harmony. The Lord has especially blessed some with experience which has fitted them to be wise counselors. It is our duty to counsel together. In our several callings, there is to be a mutual dependence on one another for assistance and praying for that wisdom the Lord alone can give. In order for successful work to be done, workers of harmonious elements of character are needed. The work can be carried forward only by patience and harmony of action. Because of a lack of harmony, a lack of determination on the part of the workers to lift with one purpose in view, the work has been delayed, and not one half has been done that might have been done. Our ministers and leaders need to realize the necessity of counseling with their brethren who have been long in the work and who have gained a valuable experience. The disposition of some to shut themselves up to themselves and to feel competent to plan and execute according to their own judgment and preferences brings them into straight places. Such an independent way of working is not right and should not be followed. The ministers and teachers in our conferences are to work unitedly with their brethren of experience, asking them for advice and paying heed to this advice because they have enlarged experience. A spirit of authority and commanding is not to be exercised even by the president of a conference, for his position does not change a man into a creature that cannot err. Every laborer entrusted with the management of any branch of the Lord's work is to labor as Christ labored, wearing his yoke and learning his meekness and lowliness. A conference president's spirit and demeanor, in word and in deed, reveal whether he realizes his weakness and places his dependence on God, or whether he thinks that his position of influence has given him superior wisdom. If he loves and fears God, if he realizes the value of souls, if he appreciates every jot of the help that the Lord has qualified a brother worker to render, he will be able to bind heart to heart by the love that Christ revealed during his ministry. He will speak words of comfort to the sick and the sorrowing. If he does not cultivate a masterly manner, but bears in mind that one is his master, even Christ, he can counsel the inexperienced, encouraging them to be God's helping hand. God has so ordered matters that no man is absolutely independent of his fellow men. In the service of God, Christ's disciples will seek for unity and to strengthen one another. I frequently receive letters from individuals telling me of their troubles and perplexities and asking me to inquire of God what is their duty. I reply to them, "I have not been appointed by God to do such a work as you ask. The Lord Jesus has invited you to bring your troubles to one who understands every circumstance of your life. Then in faith, take your burdens to the burden-bearer. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Mark 11, verse 24 to 26. "No man can come unto me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." John 6, verse 44, 45, 51. God deals with men as individuals, giving to every one his work. Let no man regard himself as competent to dictate to others, pointing out to them their duty. All are to be taught of God. Through the grace of Christ, every soul must work out his own righteousness, maintaining a living connection with the Father and with the Son. This is the only genuine experience that is of value.